When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Book Club. Three women, one book, and a whole load of badass. This month, we're meeting Sini Glaister, author of Mr. Doubler Begins Again. And she came into the studio to chat with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton, all about books. Sini, welcome to Badass Book Club.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Mr. Doubler Begins Again.
So Mr. Doubler Begins Again is about a gentleman who lives alone on a hill. He is he isn't the easiest of gentlemen. He is a bit of a pedant. He's a bit difficult, but I think it becomes clear why he's a bit difficult. He hasn't had the easiest of paths. He believes he's fine on his own. He doesn't have strong family connections. He's very happy with his potatoes and his potato experiments. But he does have an important connection in his housekeeper, Mrs. Millwood, who visits every day. And it's only when she stops coming that he realises how vital a relationship that was.
What I loved about the book was reading it in that kind of between Christmas and the New Year period. It has... It made me laugh out loud, and it made me also shed a little tear.
Good. That's what exactly the response I wanted.
Is that what you were aiming for?
Yeah. I think so. I didn't really know where I would end up, and I think some people find it a bit sadder, some people find it a bit happier, and maybe that's the piece that the reader brings to the book, yeah. Which I think is very, very important. I was told by the author, Chris Cleave, that he always likes to leave a stone in the shoe of the reader. And I think that's important. You've got to be, you know, you got to be slightly uncomfortable even in a generally uplifting book.
I have to ask to start it off, Mr. Doubler is, I want to be clear about this, not a potato farmer, a potato grower.
He is a potato grower. Well done, kid. I really appreciate that distinction.
Very important.
Thank you.
Where did the idea for the book come from? What was the inspiration?
There was a tiny, I keep my ears open all the time, trains, talking to people everywhere I go, and you just hear little sort of sound bites that jump into your mind. And somebody said to me, she was talking about a potato farmer she knew, and said he was depressed. She also described him as the second biggest potato farmer in the area. And I immediately thought, well, of course he's depressed. He's only the second biggest potato farmer. And there have been other sort of stories of chance encounters that fed into that. But I really use the plot as a method of exploring some of the things that are important to me. This is my second novel. And in each one, I try and address the things that are whirring around as the sort of bigger issues, but use hopefully quite an accessible and approachable form. It's a bit of a platform for me to have a little think about the things that matter.
And so on that, what my intuition says is there's a high percentage of use of the word good in this book. And a review that I read describes it as uplit.
Yes.
And so can you tell us more about the message that you're trying to give to people or share?
Uplit's a really interesting term and seems to be the buzzword for uplifting literature. It's quite a new term, and I think even though I hadn't heard the term before I wrote the book, I think it fits. Yeah. I mean, I think if I'd heard the term, I might have been felt it was a bit prescriptive and tried to tick the boxes, particularly if it's going to be the big new trend. But I didn't know it. I wrote a book that I wanted to write. But within that, I think there's I like considering the sort of heroism of the everyday, not the big grand gestures, but those little bits of kindness that are actually the things that impact us day in, day out. And when it happens to you, you do notice it. You do go, wow, that person was unnecessarily, extraordinarily kind. I absolutely love it when that happens. And some of those things that have happened to me over my life have been the things, they've been small, really, really small, but they've stayed in my mind for much, much longer than the opposite.
Which is more authentic to how we all live, right? Actually,
it's
small moments when someone opens a door for you or smiles.
Says something kind when they don't have to.
Exactly.
Takes a little bit of time to say something kind when they don't have to. I think that you know, hopefully you would do that as well in return, so you pass it on. But it's it can really make a difference.
And it comes through in the book. The other thing that comes through in the book is just how it's calming. It's a very calming read. And I don't know if when you were writing it, was there also an element of writing something that is the opposite of everything we're experiencing in the world right now?
I think so. I think in times of sort of seismic change, you do need to withdraw a little bit and find it could be through television or film or what you read or listen to. I think you do need to step back a little bit for the sake of your sanity, actually.
What I noticed in the book is it seemed to be less about the kind of the scenario and the situations that people were in, and much more about those relationships and actually the loneliness of Mr. Doubler, the dynamics with people's, the characters' children. I think that's something that a lot of people can identify with.
Yeah, I think one of the more uncomfortable themes I was thinking about, and I have to say, in case any of my children listen to this, not about my own children. I'm quite interested when I meet, and it's rare, but when I meet an objectionable adult, I often think, does your mum love you?
Did you get hugs?
Have you got redeeming qualities that I don't see that your mother does? Or did something happen? You know, that has made you. I think that is one of the most interesting things, is what got you to where you were. So Mr. Doubler has two children, and his son particularly is really, really unpleasant. And Mr. Doubler finds it quite hard to love him, and certainly to understand him. And I think that's a difficult thing as a parent, if your kids grow up to have values that aren't the same as your own. I think that's a tough thing, and I really enjoyed examining that. But as I say, I did have to make some caveats towards my own children.
One of the things that I particularly found about that was I read it, and it was quite uncomfortable for me to read, because I think I possibly am hopefully not quite as objectionable as some of the children characters in the book, but I definitely have that relationship a bit with my parents, where I'm slightly like, you've got to the age now where I just have to manage you. And I'm just going to manage you because you're doing all sorts of crazy things that I don't understand that are possibly putting you in harm's way. And so I'm just going to try and manage you. And they constantly just react to this by basically rebelling. And it really, reading the book really brought home to me actually the amount of effort that has to go into that parent-child relationship when you're both adults for there to be a friendship there.
Yeah.
I thought that was...
I think that transition of child to carer that happens for many of us is a really, really tricky road to navigate. I think it's very hard to do it well, but I do see it being done well all the time. But I think a lot of it is about listening to your parents as they get older. And a lot of us don't have time to listen, or we don't think we've got time to listen. I think that's one of the hardest things, is stepping back, slowing down, listening, and actually maybe giving credit to them for their lives and what they've done
Absolutely.
And what they've been through. Yeah. And when we're so preoccupied with our own lives and what we're trying to achieve and get done, it can be a strain. And you do try and manage it. You do try and manage it for them, obviously, yep. out of love, but also to an extent to yourself. And I've heard people talking to their parents really as sort of an obstacle, you know, how they're going to get around them yeah. for this next chapter. And I think I would like to think, given all that our parents do to raise us, I you know, I'd like to think that there's another way to approach that conversation.
What do you think was the motivation of Mr. Dubler's carer, the lady who came and had lunch with him every day? What would have been her motivation to do that and maintain that and keep putting that effort in?
I think she actually learned quite a lot from him. If you think about it, she goes and they have these lunches where they talk sort of at each other. And she's a bit dubious about some of his theories, his ways. But she does take those facts back and she recycles them to her own friends as her knowledge. Mm. You know, she knows a lot about potatoes and their the nutritional benefits. So I think she's learning a lot from him. He's learning, obviously, a lot from her, although he's slower, perhaps, to recognise that. And I think a daily conversation with somebody, even if that person's quite different from you and has quite different views, is really, really good for the soul. So they were definitely both getting something out of those lunches.
What I loved about the relationship between Dubler and his housekeeper, Mrs. Smallwood, was this idea that actually both of them understood the other's legacy, even if Dubler only comes to it sort of yeah. right towards the end. Yeah. And legacy and what you leave behind and what your purpose is.
Yeah.
Feels like a really big driver in the book.
Two very, very big issues yeah. in my life. Two things I think about a lot. I think purpose, it comes back to those, you know, it's good to live a life with purpose, isn't it? However, it doesn't have to be to change the world. It doesn't have to be too grand. But I think to get out of bed in the morning and have some purpose is the thing that changes a life to a meaningful life for you. Mm-hmm. And can actually help you dictate the way you live and how you impact people around you. And being clear about your purpose helps you achieve your goals quite often as well. And I think that theme will come through clearly, I hope, and I think it probably comes through in pretty much everything I do because it's important to me. Legacy, I'm less clear about, and I think I'm asking questions. I'm not sure if how many of them are answered. But one of the ones I was talking about in there was, can your children be your legacy? Is that enough? And I think it's obviously going to be different for different people. But I think having children shouldn't be the time you stop living and start hoping they're going to live. You're going to live vicariously through them. Hopefully you carry on living with your own purpose and hopefully you suggest to them that they follow theirs.
I definitely want to come back to this idea of purpose, but something else that comes through in the book, it's really small messages that mean a lot. So I've opened a page and it says, good health, that has no price. Money may improve your odds, I suppose, but you can't buy a life free from illness. That in itself, I mean, could be a statement for everyone to live by. And they're peppered throughout the book. Are they things that you've always lived by personally? And how do you, in terms of character development, I'm probably going slightly too far here, but you know, Paulo Coelho, where there are messages about things people need to go off and search, do you pepper them through the book?
You are going to find quite a lot of me in the book, yes. through my characters, obviously, because yeah. they're things that I believe in and I live by and I sort of want to infiltrate your mind just gently. Okay. hopefully not in a preachy way, hopefully in a, well, this is my way of looking at it, or in this case Dubler's way of looking at it, or Mrs. Millwood's way of looking at it. One thing I can annoy my family saying, and I stare at a lot, I think you'll find I covered that in Mr. Dubler, which they absolutely hate. I absolutely love, but there, it's all there, all the stuff that is important to me is there in the book.
And back to the idea of purpose, thinking about your career both in publishing but also with We Fi Fo, which is about bringing people together over food, you give people gifts throughout your career. It's just gifts, whether it's a book or an opportunity to come together. What's the next gift you're going to give to people?
I'm really focused on my current one. I love the fact that you've expressed it in that way. I think that's a very generous way to express it. I think if you're running a business, which I have always done since the age of 17, I think if you are running a business that has purpose, you're going to do a better job. In fact, I think you'll find I covered it in Mr. Doubler. I think I talked about whether making money was enough.
Yeah.
And for me, it definitely isn't. I don't think money, you know, it might be a sign of you being successful, one way of measuring success. Yeah. But I don't think you can take people with you by you making money or your business making money. I think if you want to take people with you, there has to be a greater, grander purpose. There has to be. For WeFiFo, it is around bringing people around food. It is a food platform, but it's there to help people develop their own skills, build their own businesses around food. But the other half of the business is around the people, the conversations you have around the table. And we have a bit of a crisis in this country. We have a sort of epidemic of loneliness, it's been described as. And I think loneliness is a really interesting subject. And I think it's one that's going to become more and more relevant to all of us. You know, it's always been there, but we tend to think of it as something that impacts older people. Mm-hmm. But now the 16 to 24-year-olds are lonelier, feeling lonelier than the over 55s. So they have a real crisis coming ahead of them because they're using social media as their connector, which feels great. You can have many, many thousands of connections, but they're not the same as those real relationships that you make. And they can't, that can potentially be damaging if that's where you get your validation. Mm. And I think that's something I'm thinking about a lot through my business. I have loads of people, particularly men, that say to me, oh, I don't need to meet new people. I've got plenty of friends. And they sort of back out of the room in case I'm going to make them sit down next to a stranger. But actually, I think those conversations you have, spontaneous conversations you have with people over food, can be really liberating. And meeting people you don't know can be liberating. You can reinvent yourself to a degree. You can tell either the same stories that are boring everyone else you know, or you can tell new stories that you haven't tried out. And I think that's a really lovely thing to witness. So half of all meals in the UK are eaten alone. And I think that's problematic. I think sharing food is a way of checking on other people's health, you know, how they're approaching food, how they're eating, what they're thinking about, what they're talking about over food. Their relationship with food is a really good test of their own mental health, I think. So all of those things are sort of within the purpose of WeFiFo.
And you bring that idea of food through in the book.
I think it's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I think I was very, very fortunate. I grew up, both my parents worked. They were extremely busy. My mother was a nurse. My father was a doctor and a scientist. They were busy people and worked very, very hard. And we always ate as a family whenever possible, certainly at the weekends. And I think those moments of bountiful food shared in a big, noisy, kind of clamouring for attention family were the moments where everyone checked each other. Mm. And it's certainly something I've tried to do with my own kids. I think it's a really important time of the week to come together and sit and chat over food. And if you haven't got a family, there are plenty of other people like you that would also like to come around food. So I think that's sort of what I'm thinking about. Let's not have everyone sitting on their own. It's lovely to eat on your own. Sometimes you can choose to, you can elect to, but it needs to be a choice.
The Fempire Strikes Back. Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Is the idea of family subjective? So in the book, you could argue that actually Mr. Douglas' family is Mrs. Millwood, not necessarily his son.
I would absolutely agree. I think the notion of family should be as broad as you need it to be. You should certainly not feel limited by a sort of very traditional, old-fashioned sense of what family is. I know, you know, I've certainly busted that in my own family. We're quite unconventional, but it really works. It is just, it's family.
They're the people that nourish you.
They are,
and,
yeah.
But also hold up an honest mirror to your face, which again comes through in the book. Their conversations aren't platitudes. They are honest.
And it also seems like the book is almost busting the myth of that sort of rose-tinted glasses view of, you know, if you have kids, they're always going to be around, you know, and like, you know, it's showing that you have to make an effort, you know, and, you know, your partner, your life partner, if they disappear, suddenly what do you have in your life? And I do think society puts a lot of expectations on the partner in your life is the everything for your, you know, has to, all your emotional needs, that there's an assumption that, you know, when you have children that they're going to grow up and they're still going to be in your life and they're going to support you when you're older. But I feel like there's a real responsibility we all have to nurture ourselves, maintain those connections, regardless of family.
And it takes effort. Yeah. It does take effort on every person's part. I think that's absolutely right. It is maybe a little bit myth-busting, but I think that, again, is important to me, because as long as we all pretend everything's fine at home and that we're living the, you know, the perfect family life, it just makes other people feel uncomfortable about themselves and less able to say, you know, yeah, no, it's not great for me all of the time. And I think it's not great all the time. And family's hard. You know, family can be...
We all know that after the Christmas
period,
don't
we? Of course. But as you say, it can be... It is nourishing as well. And I think, you know, what you want is truthfulness in family, because we have to put up a front in all sorts of other walks of life. And I think family should be, and whether that's your, you know, traditional family, however you view family, those are the people that you can be honest with and not be judged.
There is another theme in the book which I loved, which is almost about this second life period, about actually at the point when everyone thinks you should be sitting quietly in front of the fire, actually you can go and have a whole other life doing whole other things. And I'm really aware that career as a writer is kind of your other life. So you've been an entrepreneur, you've run businesses. How do you define yourself now? Are you a writer? Are you a business owner?
I think I'm both. I have to make a distinction, and I sometimes feel a bit uncomfortable talking about it. I think one thing that people say to me that really annoys me is, how do you find the time to write a book? As if somehow if they had more time, they'd have written a book. But, you know, when people tell me they've run a marathon, I don't say, wow, how do you find the time? I would definitely do that if I had the time, because I wouldn't and I couldn't. Those two parts of my life are quite separate. Running a business is collaborative. You do rely on a team. You do rely on other people, whether it's, you know, your customers or your suppliers or the actual team that you work with every day. It has to be a collaborative process. And the better you collaborate, I think, the better your business is going to be. It's very, very rarely one person sitting on their own with a good idea that will make it work. Writing is the thing I do on my own. It's the time I step back from all of that, and it's the place I retreat to be very comfortable, I have to say, in my own head. There is also a distinction between being a writer and being an author, because at some point you finish writing and hopefully you then become an author. And then you have to start talking about your book, and it's no longer yours. It definitely belongs to the reader and what they bring to the book, but also you rely on a team again. You're relying on your publisher, your editor, people that are going to help connect with people like you that are going to help me talk about my book. So it becomes collaborative again. But there is a time in the middle of all of that where it's just you and your head and your idea. No one can help you with that bit.
What's your writing process like? How do you do it?
I'm quite fortunate in that I am a very fast typist.
Yeah.
Always have been. So what I try and do is I try and walk every day. I try and walk early and I let my ideas come. And providing I've got the next piece that I'm going to write clear in my head, I can hold it there until I have a moment to sit down and write. Mm. And that might be in the train, it might be in the hairdresser, it really can be anywhere, because then I'm not really thinking about ideas. I'm just channeling the ideas I had earlier and getting them down as quickly as possible. I don't edit myself at that point because I'm really trying to capture everything I've thought about as fluently and as quickly as possible. And then when I have more time to edit, I will go back and read and then make more sense of it, so that the words that appear on the page to you as a reader are as I want them to see. So that's my process. It sort of works for me.
And finally, next book. Is there something in the pipeline?
I've delivered it.
Oh, my goodness. Everyone at HQ is so efficient. That's so fun. All their authors are like on it.
I've just delivered it, so I haven't had any feedback yet. It's a really nice moment for me. I'm, you know, before I was a writer, I was a reader. I've been a reader all my life, a very, 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 and that's where I retreated as a child, you know, big, noisy, clamouring, as I talked about it, family, I always retreated to books. So I've always been a reader, but I cannot read when I'm writing. So I'm now just entering a golden period where I'm about to catch up on all the books I haven't read for the last year or so, because I've been writing book three. So it's a really nice place to be.
Is any characters called Natalie?
I always ask this one.
No.
Maybe next time. Maybe next time. Sini, thank you so much for coming and joining us on Badass Book Club. Mr. Doubler Begins Again is out now. We thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think it's a beautiful book to read at this time of year, going from winter into spring. It is the book that defines that. Thank you very much for joining
us.
We'll be
back
next month with another book. And if you like that, make sure you go to Kobo.com, where we will be giving away 50 audiobooks for free. Just use the code BADASS at checkout, and then you can come talk to us about it. Find us on social media at Badass Women's Hour HR, or you can come and talk to us individually. We love that. You can find me at Harriet Minter, Nat
at Nat D. Campbell,
and Emma
at Emma Sexton.
And we'll be here next month with another badass.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Book Club.
The Fempire Strikes Back. Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.